Jam! Hello everyone and welcome back to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic here on twitch.tv/themanapool, which is where you can watch live every week.
You can even listen.
Every week? Every week.
Pretty often. What?
You can even what?
You can even listen.
You could. You don't have to watch. You could just listen.
Or you could watch and not listen, but that's just really weird.
That's what we're doing right now.
Yeah, I'm not listening. So, I'm Chewy. To my right, stuck in the middle with us there, is Squee.
Not listening.
And on the, I like the way you put your fingers on the outside of your head.
Sorry, I can Lucio it if you want, but.
And over there on the other side of the screen is Clues, who's.
Not watching. I can't see you, so you can't see me.
That is how
like
it works.
See no evil, hear no evil thing.
So, hi there. This is Monday Night Magic number 631, as far as I can tell.
It is.
All right, then. And, yeah, there was a Pro Tour.
Indeed. Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess we should talk about
that. Good night, everybody.
Yeah, that's the show.
That was a Pro Tour. So, I didn't fix this freaking dang it.
Oh, you didn't fix the dang it?
I didn't fix the dang it. That's my bad.
Not even all the freaking right. Dang it?
No, I didn't fix any of the dang it. Hang on, let me fix the freaking dang it.
Okay, no, we're sorry for the technical difficulties. The dang it will be returned.
Don't show Twitch.
No, I'm sorry. That's a dang it.
Why did that not work?
That's from the original Battlestar Galactica.
Or Angry Beavers, take your pick.
There we go. Okay, we got it now. We're good.
Later.
Okay, so the Pro Tour happened. But before the Pro Tour happened, we had to do the Player of the Year race.
Yeah.
Which...
Did we succeed?
I mean, we didn't. Not
personally. Was there a Player of the Year?
Yes, there is a Player of the Year.
Yeah. Then success.
And it's Luis Salvato. He beat Seth Manfield. They played a Hearthstone tournament.
Effectively.
Yeah, they played... the Hearthstone, what's it called? Domination format, where each player had four different decks, and when a deck won, you couldn't play it anymore.
It's first to four victories?
Yeah, it was
best of seven. You have to win with each of your decks?
Yes.
Yeah.
And apparently, Salvato just ran off with it.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
You currently rule Magic. All the Magic taxes go to you.
So, yeah, the entire match took less than 2 hours, which for a best of seven is saying something.
Yeah.
And, yeah, here we see a very happy Luis Salvato just going Super Saiyan.
Waiting to be photoshopped into amazing backdrops.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing where you want to photoshop that onto, like, white combat tricks.
Wait, what?
Like, all of those combat tricks where they've got, like, and it's, like, plus 2, plus 0 instant. Like, I think that's pretty easy to do there.
I don't know. You could put this on Giant Growth, too, pretty well.
I'm sorry.
You could with the appropriate background. Like, if you put some scale birds up in there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get on this, Internet. This is gold.
This is right here at adequate resolution. I believe in you.
And it's broken Clues already.
Like, there's sufficient contrast between the foreground and the background that this shouldn't be that hard to do. And when you do also post one of them that doesn't actually have the background at all so that everyone else can get it on it too. We're going to chroma key this.
I'm sorry. I got lost earlier when you started with the Player of the Year was decided by playing Hearthstone. I lost it at that point, and I haven't really recovered, because all I pictured was, you know, Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey?
Yeah, play a Reaper.
When they're playing against the Grim Reaper and a bunch of different random games.
Yeah.
That's what I pictured as happening. That they tried to play Magic, and it, like, ended in a draw or something, and they had to go on and try some other game. They did.
They have to play different Hasbro games every time, and then they ran out of those, and so they just settled on Hearthstone.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I pictured, and...
They...
Ooh, now I'm back.
Salvato won by being the best player at Tiddlywinks.
Ooh. Look, that's hardcore competitive. I was thinking that they both agreed not to play Monopoly, and so they had to settle for anything else. One of them somehow won at Play-Doh, but they were disqualified because it got stuck in the carpet. You know, the Hasbro look.
This picture a really mean game of Settlers.
I mean, all of them are.
Yeah, I was about to say.
You mean three times? You know, no one trades.
You mean a game of Settlers?
They would have played Risk, but they'd still be playing.
Huh. So yes, congrats to.
Yes, a long story short.
Too late. Congrats to Luis Salvato for taking that down. Also, while we're here, we might as well talk about the Rookie of the Year, who is Sam. I still don't know how to pronounce his last name. I'm going to say Ilenfelt and hope that that's not too wrong.
There you go.
This is a guy who came out of nowhere with, a Pro Tour Top 8 at his first appearance at Pro Tour Exelon. So, of course, he's going to be Rookie of the Year. But, yeah, good on him. I kind of forgot Rookie of the Year was a thing, because this year we didn't really hear much about it. I think because he locked it up with a Pro Tour Top 8.
That's the way to do it.
So yeah, good on it. And okay, let's go talk about the actual Pro Tour, shall we?
Sure. Pro Tour Guilds of Ravnica.
This is Daily MTG. That is not the tag I wanted. Did you just robot something hard?
I mean, you roboted, so maybe I also did.
Okay, that was weird. Okay, so, as we all know, Pro Tours are mixed format.
Yes.
So, just because certain decks do well, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're the best, but it kind of does in this case.
It means they were the best at the Pro Tour and their mixed deck format.
Yeah. Mixed deck format? We'll just pretend he said that properly. So...
Did I not say that?
What, you said mixed deck format.
You were supposed to pretend.
What? So, Andrew Ellenbogen won by beating Luis Scott Vargas in the finals. The downside of that means that they didn't have LSV in the booth, which is a damn shame. But hey, sure check him out. He made it to the finals.
I'm sure that the $20,000 consolation prize may offset not being in the booth on that day.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
For him, but...
I mean, we got a cool play out of him in this the semifinals, so that's something.
Yeah, I heard there was a cool play, but can someone tell me what exactly happened? I was busy all weekend.
If,
I had family.
If you go to the top stories, you'll actually...
There's a one-minute video clip of it.
Yeah, there's a Twitch clip.
Okay, let's see here. Top stories, Pro Tour Guilds of Ravnica.
Essentially Jedi mind tricked.
Yeah, it was a pretty impressive bluff.
Yeah.
When you want to convince your opponent that you're going to do something, handing them the token that would be created by the thing they think you're going to do is a pretty good way to do it, considering that factors into their blocking decisions, and then they make mistakes and you win. And by mistakes, I just mean they make decisions based on that information.
Yeah.
Like, I would argue that it wasn't actually a mistake, it just happened to work out. You know, that's magic.
Yeah. I apparently closed the wrong tab earlier, so... Hang on a minute, let's go to the top stories. And you know, we'll just watch that. Was it... Is this one? Alright, here we go.
Yeah.
Tack, does he line up? He is dead on the backswing if he doesn't have any blockers for the two knights.
So he's incentivized to leave something back anyway, right?
Well, Aurelia has vigilance and is a nice blocker. She's coming in.
Oh, the other tokens two tokens are coming in. And here comes Edanto Vanguard. Now so, yeah, Jeremy's going to take a moment to line up the perceived
reaches
block.
For the token.
Luis, he's grabbed a vampire token.
Oh, man.
From the pile.
That is the pen trick at its most elite form.
This even Jeremy grabbed it for him now and says, what happens if you make the token? Can Luis lure Jeremy Dazani into the full attack here and get him with Settle the Wreckage? And there it is, Settle the Wreckage from Luis Scott Vargas, and he wins 3-0 over Jeremy Dazani to
Ripping
put
radio,
himself
right?
back into the Pro Tour. Finals.
I guess they could hear that.
So. Yeah, just yeah.
That makes way more sense.
And so, I had just watched it about 30 seconds ahead, so.
So there you go.
All right, nifty.
That was game 3.
Yeah.
But.
You know, LSV is one of my favorite pros, so I'm glad to see he did really well. I'm sad to see he didn't win, but at least it looks like it was a good finals.
Looks like it, yeah. So, let's talk about top stories. Hang on. Here we go.
Let's results. Talk about abuse of the word red white. Or the
word red white.
Yeah, look, I'm sorry, I didn't sleep much. The descriptor red white. I call shenanigans.
As well you should, sir.
Excellent.
Because so Andrew Ellenbogen was running what is called Red White Aggro, but in the main. So let's just run through this because this is what the vast majority of these decks look like. You have a Danto Vanguard.
W.
Snubhorn Sentry.
Still W.
A draft fodder that I never thought would be in a Pro Tour winning deck. But I guess that is pretty good for one mana. 3/3 for one. I hear that's good.
Yeah.
Venerated Loxodon. Okay. Banalish Marshal.
I was just going to say it the whole time. I'll just call out red when we get there. How about that?
Okay. Fair enough. Banalish Marshal, Sky Marcher Aspirant, Dauntless Bodyguard, Healer's Hawk, Pride of Conquerors. You're going to call it out when we hit red, right?
Yeah, I totally
agree. Okay. Conclave Tribunal, History of Benalia, Legion's Landing, and that's the main.
Yep.
As you can tell, this is a white weenie deck. Made extra possible by the Banalish Marshal, who is a 3/3 for 3 that has a Glorious Anthem attached. Seems good. So let's go to the white, where you have the other two Clifftop Retreat, because there's two in the main, you see. You've got Response Resurgence.
I'm sorry, did you say let's go to the white? Because that's what you said. I think you mean let's go to the sideboard.
That is what I meant to say.
Yeah. All right, okay, that makes a lot more
sense. I saw you were making a joke, so I didn't want to call you out.
So did I.
I'm just
the context was all off. No, okay, it's fine. Fair enough. Response Resurgence, there we finally have some red. Look at that.
Yeah, you cock your head to the side because they still haven't figured out how to code that, but yeah. You've got the Tecatli Honor Guard that was such a force in some of the later Star City events before the first GP. Yeah. You have a Johnny Adversary of Tyrants. You have Experimental Frenzy.
Red.
Yeah, that's red.
And Banefire.
Red.
So yeah, you've got 3, 4, 6 red cards total, all in the board.
Yeah.
So calling it red white aggro is a little,
This is not the Boros I signed up for.
No.
That's a different deck.
Yeah. So let's go see what LSV was playing. Well, LSV was playing almost exactly the same deck.
Almost.
He had two fewer Conclave Tribunal. It looks like everything else is just the same with a few. Oh, he had a Johnny's Pride Mate. Instead of something. They're not in the same order, so I'm having a hard time.
The sad thing is, whatever system they're using to do this can probably sort alphabetically with a line of code that would fix this forever.
Yeah, but adding that line of code would then break something else.
Probably several more things.
It would probably break the ability of the system to only show you the most expensive version of the card, if it exists.
I don't know.
Because I just
believe in their ability to prioritize that.
I love it when they show me masterpieces of cards.
Yes. So yeah, LSV also has two Aurelia in the board,
which is nice.
That is nice with the Experimental Frenzy and the Banefire, and the one Settle the Wreckage. So that's first and second. Let's go to third place where Taijin Hao is running. Oh. A similar, but not quite the same, red-white aggro deck.
Yeah.
He's got Rustwing Falcon in here.
Got some reinforcements.
There is heroic reinforcements in the main.
Huh.
So look,
they're not timely, but they make up for it with gusto.
It's true. So there's some red-white aggro.
See, that's the kind of thing that you could take, you know, the winning picture and Photoshop into heroic reinforcements. It's just all that those things look like are like, rah! Which, you know, if you're not watching on video, sounded funny, but I promise it was great.
It was pretty good. Let's see, what else has he got as far as red? Banefire, the Experimental Frenzy, and a mountain. There's a mountain in his board.
Yeah, well, LSV had a mountain in his board as well.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Just in case.
Although it technically
isn't. There it is. Neat. But there you go, very similar, just a few minor differences. Now, in fourth place, Jeremy Dazani is actually running Boros aggro.
Yep.
Will be the Goblin. Judge of that.
Well, I mean, yeah, he's got...
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, he's got Sky Marcher, Aspirant, Hunted Witness, Adanto Vanguard, Goblin Instigator.
Red.
Boros Challenger.
Totally red.
Aurelia.
Also red.
And heroic reinforcements.
Yep, that's red.
Yeah, so this one... Apparently, the more red you play, the worse you do, is what we're coming up with here.
Whoa. I don't like this as a takeaway message.
I'm just... Look, that's correlation is causality, man. Totally is.
Because on the other hand, as long as you're running red, you qualify to be in the top eight.
He's also got Legion Warboss and Lava Coil going on here, in addition to the Experimental Frenzy and another Aurelia. So yeah, the deck is a little, I can't say a little more or less aggro. It's a little differently aggro with the Boros Challenger and the Instigator.
I think the presence of Aurelia implies that it's planning on going slightly longer, which is impressive because Aurelia is, you know, awesomely costed in aggro and stuff, but True. By comparison to the other decks.
I mean, that's what I was thinking, but then I saw the Instigator and the Boros Challenger, and I went, well, maybe not.
Well, they're probably doing the play something on one, play something on two, play two things on three, play two things on four, or Aurelia on four, depending on what your hand is, and then you're out of cards and hope. You know,
we're
Boros aggro.
Fair enough. So let's get out of the top four. Wilson Mock is running Jeskai Control. What?
I do not approve.
Did he not get the memo?
The blue one.
He must not have gotten the memo. So he's running Teferi, of course, and Crackling Drake as his only creature, and then just a ridiculous amount of things. Deafening Clarion, yeah. Cleansing Nova, your usual things you'd expect. Chemistry's Insight, Essence Scatter, Expansion Explosion. I don't know, I keep hearing this weird feedback thing that apparently only I can hear, which means you guys can hear it.
No, I times. Heard something that time.
Weird.
I still think it's the ghost you live with.
I mean, that I don't could know. Be.
I am hearing an echo of you occasionally, like when you talk, which is really weird.
I don't know, man.
I think Clues is also haunted.
Do you have your speakers on?
No. It's very strange.
Spooky.
So, okay, going back to this deck list, Expansion Explosion, Justice Strike, Revitalize, gain 3 life, draw a card for 1 and a white and instant speed. Look at all this draft fodder making the top 8 of a Pro Tour.
So, like, now that I'm thinking about it, looking at Justice Strike, is the implication here supposed to be that the angel had the demon punch itself in the face and is now just posing?
Yeah, why are you hitting yourself?
Yeah, stop hitting yourself.
That's fair. Like, the Flaming Sword is entirely just for, you know, showing off. It has nothing to do with the actual Justice Strike.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Okay. They have Negate, Sinister Sabotage, Ionize, and Syncopate, and Search for Ascanta. So it's your normal Jeskai Control deck, really.
Yeah.
It's just been a while, so I figured I'd read it off.
That's fair.
All right, if we go to whatever place this is, sixth place.
It's always six when you lose them.
I'll have to try to remember that. Mike, what?
Was it six this time?
Michael Burnett.
It was six. Yeah, okay. It is always six. Great.
Is running the red-white aggro deck again, which is actually...
Consistency.
Which is actually mono-red, mono-white. It's white weenie. It's white weenie. He does have a Tajik shiny soldier in his board.
And an Experimental Frenzy.
Yeah, which seems to be fairly normal.
All the rage.
In seventh, Casper Nielsen is running... look at this. Red-white aggro, except this one actually is red-white. It's got Aurelia and Heroic Reinforcements in the main.
That checks out.
Oh, citywide bust.
It is officially Affinity.
Citywide bust. Wow. Okay. And then, rounding out the top eight, of course, we have Yuya Watanabe, who just refuses to play by the rules. He's running Is It Drake's.
Still red.
With the Electromancer, Enigma Drake, Arclight Phoenix, Crackling Drake, and then a bunch of silliness to maximize the use you get out of those. Maximize Velocity, Chart a Course, Lava Coil, Opt, Shock, Discovery Dispersal, Radical Idea. Just a lot of cheap, cantrippy things to turn these things on.
I guess
on
this deck, it's really just Discovery, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it can even consider the other half of the card.
Nah.
Neat.
But it's one and a blue to draw a card.
So, no, that's fair.
Yeah. Surveil and draw a card, even. Ooh. So, there you go. There's your top eight. A lot of diversity here. Wait. No, the other thing.
Domination by the Well, I guess, like, Boros is the army, right? So this is like some kind of
coup.
It's like I keep trying to say things and they all turn into puns based on Magic card names. So I'm trying not to. Because I'm like, oh, you know, it's like a coup or a martial art. No, all of these are cards.
Oh, it's a relentless assault. No, wait.
Oh, obviously it's a lava coil. Got there.
Yeah. Got there. Clues, could you get someone to generate an L1 test for him?
I've got friends. We can make this happen.
That makes one of us.
You can have less friends if you do.
Aww.
Actually, I'm not bothered by that because I don't qualify to be a judge.
They might be countable. I might have fewer friends.
All right, then. So, let's go look at what else was doing well. Now, there are three of these lists of deck lists that finished with certain number of match points. But these are... the other two are really long. So, we're just going to look at this first one, 27 to 30 match points. You guys can go check out the others. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So, it says we have two players that finished 10-0, but I don't, they're not listed which ones are which.
Yeah.
And two finished with 27. Let's hope that these are in order, which means if they are, that means Guillaume Gauthier, let's say Gauthier won, went 10-0 with mono blue tempo, which is that, what do we call them? Fish fairies?
Yeah. Flying fish.
It's cause it's Merfolk's that plays sort of like the old fairies deck, so.
Yeah.
And then another white weenie deck with heroic reinforcements by Magnus Lanto was 10-0. If these are in order, I have no idea. We also have two people that were 9-1. So in theory, that's Alejandro Olea Garcia, who's running Is It Drake's?
It is.
Pascal Viren, who's running... Oh, Is It Drake's? Huh.
Still is.
That's a confirmation.
Wow, one of which had Murmuring Mystic. That's really funny.
Ah, the Mirari Conjecture. Everyone's favorite Bourne movie.
So then we've... Let's see here. One person finished 8-1-1, and 18 finished 8-2. So again, if these are in order, that means Zach Allen... Wait, are these... These are alphabetical. So we have no idea.
We've got
we know that these people did very well with these decks.
Yes. So here we go. Here's 8-1-1 and 8-2. We've got Jeskai Control, a mono red aggro, which is the Wizards Lightning deck.
Somehow they didn't get the memo.
Yeah, clearly not. Another mono red aggro. Let's see. Here is more red white, which is mostly white. Another Jeskai Control. Is it Drake's? Selesnya Tokens.
They look green.
Yeah, who'd have thunk it?
You guys remember green?
I sort of do, kind of.
It's that dirt color.
Some more Selesnya Tokens. Oh, here we go. Golgari Midrange. The Golgari Midrange deck was reportedly the most popular deck at the Pro Tour, but just did not have enough game against the White Weenies to make it to the top tables.
Hey, look, it's black.
Yeah, anyone remember
Golgari
that?
Golgari had a terrible day, even though these decks did amazing.
Thrashing used to be my Bronto favorite. Dave.
Good old Bronto Dave. He's the man. Let's see. Mono Red. Oh, here's more Golgari. Jeskai, Golgari. More red-white. This one has more red. Here's another red-white with less red. Okay.
Red to taste.
Is it Drake, Golgari Midrange, Jeskai Control, mono-red? So, yeah, standard started wide open, and now apparently there are five decks. Which sounds about right. Six?
Five colors, five decks, it checks out. It's a cycle!
Six? No, I think there are six. Clues is allergic to one of
them. Sorry.
It
was all the blue. Sorry. I would have just muted, but half the time when I do that in Discord, it drops me from the call, so sorry.
He's not wrong.
It is a weird thing that happens.
So there you go. There's your top deck lists in the constructed portion.
Yeah.
And again, there are two other lists of decks that did well, but they're very long, and there's really no need to go over them. But
Those will be left as an exercise for the listener.
Yeah, we've got the 21 to 23 match point deck list and 18 to 20. Is there one missing? 21 to 23 and then 27 to 30?
Weren't the 24 and 25 in the 27 to 30 list? Didn't we just talk about those?
Oh, were they?
I think they were on that same page.
Oh, okay.
It's bad labeling.
Okay. Good. Everything's fine.
It's extended.
Stop that.
They did.
It's not wrong.
That was pretty
not
good.
Wrong.
You're welcome.
Okay, so if we go into the top stories, let's see. We've got Salvato. We've got some human interest. We've got White Weenie coming back. We've got Kai Buddha was back playing in the Pro Tour. And then we've got the LSV stuff and Ellen Bogan. And there we go. That's the top stories. Okay, go get them.
Yeah.
So is that... Is that everything from the Pro Tour?
I think so.
Well, it's everything that was included.
I guess we do have this, where we couldn't find a primary source for this, but this caused a kerfuffle over the weekend, and we figure a tweet from Brian Kibler is close enough.
I mean, he has his own Google. That has to count for something.
Right? So yeah, WotC is no longer making the Platinum Pro Player cards, which... No, they didn't stop. Back in the day, they just stopped putting the pro player cards in boosters.
Huh.
They were given to the players at the Pro Tour. And also, they're selling the Pro Tour shirts rather than giving them away. But like I said, we couldn't find a primary source for this, so sorry about that.
Yeah.
So
all we really know is that someday they will tell us something.
Possibly.
Stuff what used to be free no longer is.
Yeah. So, there are a couple of ways to look at this. Clues had one.
I did. Yeah. So, on the one hand, these things, they're tiny things, right? They're not all that expensive. They're not all that necessarily directly impactful to the people they're given to, but they are essentially marketing or advertising. They impact other players who see them. They impact the game as a whole, right? So somebody in a comment, I think it might have been in this Twitter thread, it might also have been on Reddit that I saw it, that, you know, things like these Platinum Pro player cards, this was kind of a neat thing that if you played against a pro, they might give you one. And it's like, oh, hey, I played against this guy once and it was, you know, meaningful and, you know, stuck with you. And now that's just gone. So can you put a price tag on that? Apparently the answer is yes. Someone somewhere could. And the price tag was too much. And so they're not doing that. I think it's a shame. That's what I'm going to say.
So yeah, that's one side. The way I came at it was from the other direction, is that people have been complaining about prize payouts at events being lower than what they think they should be, or lower than other esport type things. But then when Wizards goes to like make some cuts directly affecting these events for things that aren't, let's say, entirely necessary, people get upset.
Right, but do you honestly think that these cuts are going to result in higher payouts? I mean, for instance, when the airlines started charging us for carry-on bags, they started to give us more extra space on the plane too, right?
I don't fly.
Yeah, well, the answer was no.
Oh, okay.
I mean, in fairness, a lot of the time when people start charging you for something, it's not because they're going to give you something else. It's that they're not increasing the cost in other areas. Someone's still doing the math on it somewhere. And in the case of airlines charging for carry-on, yeah, it sucks, but the people who have more carry-on are fitting the bill for that. So not quite the same as upping ticket price for everyone.
Sure.
In the case of this one, it's something that's impacting a small portion of the player base. And it's unfortunate from a minor PR standpoint, but...
Yeah.
It's not exactly, and now we're going to put a basic land in your booster pack. Never upset ever.
Huh. I wonder how much money they would save if they didn't put a basic land in booster packs.
I don't know. Hey, Chewie, you remember top 8 pens?
Excuse me. No.
They were gone before either of us made the top 8. But they were a thing once upon a time.
They were. I saw lots of people who had playmats with top 8 pens stuck to them.
Wait, there were PTQ top 8 pens?
Yeah.
Oh, that seems like a horrible waste of money.
It was. And then they got rid of them.
And then they got rid of them. And people complained.
Yeah.
But that's what people, especially Magic players, do. So,
I mean, it's a change. It's something they don't like. I think that as often as they shuffle around prize payouts and expectations and costs for these events, this is something that they can take away that, you know, makes a small portion of people who are already doing very well and invested in this a little sad. And it, that can feel bad, but it's impacting a small number of people that are already super committed. So if you're going to be taking something from someone, they're probably the safest group to hit, even if they will complain on Twitter. The question is, as, you know, Clues is saying, is something else going to come out of this? Or is this simply a, we were going to be changing the price somewhere, this is what we chose to cut? And that remains to be seen.
True. We don't know.
They don't tell them.
Because they don't tell us.
They might announce that they're going to tell us someday.
This mean, could
have
also,
to announce that announcement first.
This could just also be that Hasbro's quarterlies were down because of Toys R Us being run into the ground, and every penny matters.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, there is a non-zero chance. I do want to stress we don't often actually see what goes on behind the curtain. All we have is rampant speculation, just like everybody else on the internet. And there is a chance that behind the scenes, they're like, well, we could lay off these three people, or we could stop printing pro player cards. I'm not saying that that's what happened, but I mean, we don't know what the calculus was that went into this. It's sad that it's changed. It's sad that it's gone. I don't think there's necessarily going to be a net benefit in prize payouts. I'm skeptical is what I'll say about that.
Yeah.
But who knows? Who knows?
Not me, that's for sure. That's
the weird. Shadow knows. But he's not talking.
Yeah, the Shadow might know.
Should I look at the camera when I talk? Because I tend to just look around because I don't normally really think about the camera.
I mean, I don't think it matters.
Okay.
I tend to look at you guys when I talk, so.
I'm perpetually looking under the camera because that's where the screen is, so I have that constant disconnected look.
That is not where my screen is.
I'm just going to stare deeply into the soul of whoever's watching right now.
Ah!
Ooh, that's me. So that's one thing, but yes, Clues tried to make a segue, but I had another thing to say, so my
I
bad.
Did. I tried my best. Yeah. I set it up, and you failed to spike it.
Yeah, that was my bad.
It's all good.
But yes, so on November 9th, which was what, Friday?
Yes.
Yeah. This article appeared on the mothership. Major competitive Magic gaming.
Hold it. Article? Really? You're going to call
it It's
this
listed
an article?
Under articles.
It is. Okay. It is listed as an article. An article is the category
it's
in. All right.
Fine.
It's even listed as news.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, let me read the title. Major competitive Magic gaming announcement December 6th. That is the title. That takes up almost the same amount of real estate as the actual article.
It's true.
And
I like
this,
the meta.
This is an announcement to announce that there will be an announcement soon at the Game Awards. I don't even know what the Game Awards are.
Apparently you'll get answers there.
Okay, couple of things. First one, announcements will continue until morale improves. Second one.
Well, he's laughing, so now you can carry on with your announcement.
They have been doing this for a while now, right? Where they announce that they're going to announce something?
Yes.
Yes.
Do people like that?
No.
And I mean that as a sincere question.
I speak for people, no.
I don't care for it personally, but it's possible that you know, their research has shown or feedback has shown that people actually like to know, oh, there's totally an announcement. We're not going to tell you it now. But we're going to tell you that we're going to tell you a thing later. Do people like that?
I mean, it's been
like
working.
Teasers for the trailer for the movie?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. It's been working for Hollywood for years now.
Yeah,
but at least a teaser usually contains
something. Yeah, see also the Toy Story 4 teaser that came out recently.
Even if it's just a John Williams score and, you know, like the title.
You don't hear a John Williams score every time you read something posted by Blake? Is that just me?
Don't. I can try that.
So anyway, let me just read this middle paragraph to you. All fall, we've been offering small glimpses into the future of competitive Magic gaming. And those are links to the, let's see, scheduled Pro Tour qualifying in Magic Fest, and then, oh, the six Pro Tours, which, hey, we'll get back to in just a second. And we know you have questions. On December 6th at the Game Awards and on this website, you will get answers.
You know, my favorite part of that is, Joey.
What?
That's not a link to the Game Awards.
I don't know. Hang on. We're
I'm looking up the Game Awards right now. Yeah.
The Game Awards.
The Game Awards. It will air live from Los Angeles on Thursday, December the 6th, 2018.
Like, typically when you do a teaser.
Games and eSports of 2018.
Their website sucks.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's an event website. They always suck.
News.
Hey, I could share the page and earn a badge. I'm not gonna, but I could.
Oh, it's gonna be live on 40 video platforms.
There are 40 video platforms?
Yes. They all want your subscription fee every month.
I think, like, Mom's Living Room counts as, like, three of those.
I was gonna say, name six.
A record-setting 40 globe... Hang on, let me... Boom. A record-setting 40 global video networks, including expanded distribution in China. Is there a list? Okay, here we go. YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Mixer, Steam. Oh, Steam TV. Oh, PlayStation Live Events Viewer, Xbox Live, IGN. That doesn't count. GameSpot. That doesn't count. MLG. That doesn't count. Caffeine.tv, and more to be announced.
Oh, and then there's a bunch of international feeds that I'd never heard of. Okay, so I don't know what most of these are because I only live in the United States. Okay, I get it. I get it.
I also only live in the United States.
Hey, that's interesting.
I'm not commenting.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Is it
going to
be on Crunchyroll?
12, 13. There are 14.
Only for subscribers.
In China, dude. 14. That's insane.
All right.
It's a big country with multiple languages that are all called Chinese by everyone else.
I mean, a really big country. So, yeah. All right.
So there you go.
I take it back. There are many streaming platforms, apparently.
Video platforms.
Excuse me.
Like video Twitter.
Platforms.
Yeah, like Twitter.
Like Twitter.
And IGN, which just YouTube.
And GameSpot? Is GameSpot?
Yeah, that's also just YouTube.
Okay.
So this is held annually in December. I have to say, I don't think I've ever heard of the Game Awards.
Let's check the history. They go all the way back to 2014.
That might have something to do with it. Okay.
It's also because they picked the most generic name ever that will not stand out. And when someone says, oh yeah, I'm watching the Game Awards, we're like, really? Okay.
Oh, yeah, which one?
I won a Game Award. Really? Did you just make that up?
Apparently
that's like the award that you get when a small child writes it on a paper plate with glitter glue. Okay. Like, I got a Game Award.
In 2014, their viewership was 1.9 million. That is self-reported. In 2015, it was 2.3 million. 2016, 3.8 million. 2017, 11.5 million. So this year, it will be literally all human beings on Earth. In fact, if you watch on more than one platform, I think you count twice.
Well, I better count twice because I'm twice as important as that other
guy. Wait a minute. Was Twitch not listed?
Can I get this on Packet? That's a ham joke. Nobody? Okay, never mind.
I'm looking down at the Follow the Game Awards thing in the footer, and I like how Snapchat's on the list.
Wow, Twitch is not on this list. What?
They have a Twitch channel. I'm sure it's going to be there.
Content creators on Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook will also be able to co-stream the show and share it with their audience in real time. So yeah, it's going to be on Twitch.
Yeah, it'll be there.
It's just not listed on the thing here. Co-stream the show. I wonder if they just mean host the channel.
I'm sure that's exactly what that means. Trying to, you know, make it sound important and stuff.
Okay, so anyway, this announcement of an announcement does one thing. It pushes...
It makes us talk about it?
No, that too, but it pushes some percentage of the people who care about Magic to go watch the Game Awards that they might not have.
All right, fair.
It's also their way of saying, stop complaining for 3 weeks and then you can complain.
But the fact that the Game Awards seems to be a video game thing, I think Gothic in the chat, way up higher in the chat, said an MTGA, meaning Magic Arena, Pro Tour. Do you think there's going to be some sort of competitive arena thing that they're announcing? Let's go wild on the baseless speculation.
All right. I think long term it's inevitable.
Is it
now is really the question. And until they can get those cards to actually tap, I'm going to go no.
They don't have to tap in a digital game, Clues.
Okay, but what if they did? Because, see, they could, right? That's totally – they have that
ability. I think Clues will be happy when they give him an option in the settings to make it tap just for you so that he can see it.
That would be fine. Perfectly
fine. But then
fine.
He won't get to play it because it'll be on Windows.
I was going to say, I would be happy if they would put it on a platform that's not Windows.
Well, at the moment, it's on literally one platform, so.
Yeah.
You can get it on your Nokia N-Gage.
Can I?
No.
How about the, was it the, oh God, what was the other one? I want to say the Sidekick? Was that a?
The Sidekick is also not going to support it.
Okay.
It's such a weird thing.
Can I use it on my Palm Pilot?
That is between you
I hear that's
and the Lord of
back.
Off.
I hear that there's a new Palm Pilot and that no one likes it.
I mean, that sounds like the old Palm Pilot.
Okay, enough talking about ancient technology.
BlackBerry. Okay, we're good.
Damn it.
And
Pocket Station.
Oh.
Okay.
What about my Sony PSP?
Dreamcast VMU. Gothic beat you to it. He said that in chat a few minutes ago.
Oh, there it is. Yeah.
I still like the Dreamcast VMU. We should totally put it on there.
Sega CD. Atari Lynx?
The Lynx.
The Phantom.
The Lynx had a battery life of like 35 seconds.
I'm pretty sure the battery life was the amount of time it took you to change the battery.
Until I can watch it with the Game Boy camera, I'm not interested. Or the printer
Jam a virtual
that they had
boy
for that,
interface.
Oh, God, no, I don't want epilepsy.
Okay.
Hey, Jay Spencer, don't knock the Commodore 64, buddy.
Okay, we are sufficiently tangent to carry on. Jay.
Yeah, okay, so there's one more, right? Oh, no, there are two more pieces of news. Three more pieces of news. I didn't open these ahead
of
time. Hold
it, we're going to announce that there are three more pieces of news coming.
Look, hang on.
Hey, Jay Spencer, I'm just going to go into the chat. Hold on, I'll stop doing this on air. I'll talk to the chat.
All right, how are we doing?
Wait, pause. Okay, that's not what I wanted. Okay, fine, so... We have this, which should look familiar to people. The 2019 to feature 6 Pro Tours, right? You remember this?
Yeah.
From September 6th. Do what?
Those were the days.
Yes.
I said 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, because I couldn't do the rest of the song, because...
Sure.
Because there's only 6, yeah. So if you scroll down to the actual list of them, and thank you to Judge Infinius for telling me this... you see this editor's note right here? We originally announced the 6 Pro Tour of the Year as Brisbane, Australia. It was updated on 11/8 to Sydney, Australia. So this... It
had
moved...
the other end of a dangerous road.
Yeah, it moved, what did I say earlier? 10 hours away?
Yeah.
Luckily, it's still...
infested land.
It's still way, 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 way far in the future. Like, this is December next year.
Yeah.
So that's fine.
You can start the perilous journey now.
The other thing Infinius pointed out was he said he didn't know if that meant that the Associated Magic Fest was also moved. But since they haven't announced the second half of next year yet, I'm pretty sure that means it did.
Yeah. Can't imagine they wouldn't, especially since Pro Tours are at these now.
Yeah. But that's good to know. Because that's a major change. Luckily, like I said, it's still 13 months away. So, unlike some Channel Fireball events changes, we've got plenty of time to plan for it.
Yeah.
Not we as in us, but we as in...
If you're looking to bring a newborn there, there's still time.
That's weird.
It is weird.
Okay, as long as we're in agreement that it's weird. Okay, so another thing... there's some stuff going on with Ultimate Masters that we should probably talk about.
Some shenanigans.
Some shenanigans, yeah. So let's start with the box topper. The ultimate box topper.
At Pizza Hut.
Which is not on top of the box. It is inside of the box.
But it's on top of the stuff in the box.
I know, but language means things.
Apparently not.
No, language used to mean things.
There you go. That's better.
Damn it.
Once we lost literally, there was no going back, man.
Ugh.
We literally lost it.
Anyway, so the ultimate box topper, a video came out.
All right, how are we doing today, guys?
Pause. Shut up. Let's see here. Where's the date on this? November 6th. So last week.
Yep.
That's glorious.
Popped up on Tuesday because we saw it right after we put out this episode.
Yeah. But yeah, if you have a flashlight, you can actually see through it to see what you're getting.
Well, but who has a flashlight? I mean, come on.
Wait, hang on. You see this right here? For everyone that's not watching, this is my phone. If I do this and then this, I now have a flashlight.
What?
I took literally two pokes with my finger and I have a flashlight.
Oh, I can do better than that. I just have to shake mine and it turns on.
I
played Last of Us.
That seems weird
some amazing technology.
That also,
I have an actual flashlight.
Charmander.
He has an actual flashlight. Show off.
Now I'm a ghost! Woo! That was fun.
I have
So what we're saying is the three of us have flashlights. You should not buy.
Yeah, don't buy
these
ultimate
things from us.
Yeah, don't buy
these. We have magic.
My token art is my lock screen. See, look at that. Wow.
Should you? It turned off. Should you attempt to purchase on the secondary market an ultimate box topper and think to yourself, "Hey, I am totally going to have a random chance to get an awesome card." Probably not.
In other words, definitely not.
Yeah, statistically speaking, not as such.
Because once these things come out and the market settles, then people can open the ones they know are worth more and sell those, and then sell the sealed ones for the gambling price that's more than worst cards that are in it are worth. And you, as the buyer, would be the sucker.
Yeah,
it's like buying repack packs. There could be a rare. There could be a Black Lotus in this package. There won't be, but there could be.
There could be.
Nah.
Now, to be fair, they did put a Black Lotus in one of the repacks, but then they took that one and they put it on a shelf.
And then they bought it from themselves and said, "Someone bought this."
Oh my god!
They put it somewhere safe where top men are keeping track of it.
Wait, who's keeping track of it?
Top men.
Oh.
Yeah. We just thought you should know that. Don't buy those individually.
Do not buy sealed ultimate box toppers from anyone ever.
Yeah.
Okay.
The more you know.
Shooting Star.
Do, do, do.
Now, the other thing with Ultimate Masters, I want to play a clip from the Ultimate Masters announcement stream. Can I do that real quick?
Oh.
Okay, so let's see. I just need to open. I need to pause.
Pause.
There we go. Okay. Let's listen to what Blake and I never paid attention to who this guy was, but these two guys have to say.
Found about a sealed box of Ultimate Masters.
So you can only get a sealed box of Ultimate Masters from a local game store.
Sure.
Okay, did you hear that? I know you guys didn't before you answer. Let's do it. Let's do it one more time.
Special this time around about a sealed box of Ultimate Masters.
So you can only get a sealed box of Ultimate Masters from a local game store.
Sure.
Okay? You can only get a sealed box of Ultimate Masters from a local game store. He goes on to say this.
So these are not going to be sold at big box stores or anything like that.
The boxes are only going to be available.
The boxes are only going to be available at your local game store.
Okay. He said it again. Boxes are only available at your local game store. Now, since language means things...
It used to.
Well, okay. When they made this announcement, I was operating under the assumption that language still meant things.
A bold assumption in 2018.
True. But local game store, to me, says that you have to go to the place and get your stuff. Like... Well, okay, Lucky's closed, but let's say House of Cards and Winston-Salem.
Would be the spirit of this announcement, right?
Yeah, that would mean that I'd have to go to House of Cards and be like, "Hey, I want to pre-order a box." And they'll be like, "Give us money." And I give them money, and then when it comes out, I go get it, and they hand it to me across the counter. That's what local game store means to me, and I think to my co-hosts as well.
In fact, I would suggest that that's what the local part of local game store means.
Yes, but in the meantime, we have seen announcements from all of the big online retailers of Magic that they have pre-orders for Ultimate Masters for well below MSRP, might I add.
Yeah.
I think the running amount is about $280, which is $55 less than MSRP.
Yeah.
Now, at least based on some things that I saw on the Twitters when I saw the first... I'm going to name names. Can I name names?
As long as they're not my name.
Great. So when Chewy first announced that he was selling these online... the first announcement that I saw of someone selling it online was Cool Stuff Inc. And there were a bunch of questions that were then fired at Evan about that. And it's possible that the local part, they can only ship to the U.S. for this. So if you're in Europe and you want to order it from Cool Stuff Inc., you cannot. WotC literally will not let them do that.
Correct.
So by local, we mean within your country? Question mark.
Provided you're in these countries.
Right. And it might have been U.S. and Canada, now that I think about it. Might have been. I don't quote me on that, because I'm not in the market to buy these anyway, so I didn't really pay that much attention. But still, it was weird.
But yeah, when you say this super expensive... super premium product is only going to be available at local game stores. To me and others, that sounds like this is a thing. We know it's super expensive, but it's going to benefit game stores, not massive online retailers.
You know what happens when you assume, Chewy?
Yeah, you're an asshole, apparently.
You jumped to conclusions.
When I pointed this out on the internet, I was like, well, Cool Stuff Inc. has brick-and-mortar stores. I'm like, that doesn't matter. So does Star City Games. Have you ever been to Star City Games? It's this tiny... the actual storefront is this tiny, crappy, like, unimpressive little building with this giant building behind it where all the warehouse and content creation and whatnot is. Mm. But the actual storefront is really disappointing. I walked in once and I went... okay.
And that's pretty typical for online-based retailers.
Yeah.
If most of your money comes from putting things in boxes and shipping them, then you need a lot of space for that.
True.
And the rest of it is... and also, here's a place where you can go, and like, in some cases, F&M, in some cases, here's the storefront that's probably smaller than your local game store, because all the energy's put in the shipping part.
Yeah. But, so, like, I'm not saying that people in Roanoke shouldn't be able to buy them from Star City Games. That would make sense. To have people in Roanoke buy them from Star City Games. But people in California buying them from Star City Games seem to defeat the purpose of their making a big point that they're only available in local game stores.
Yeah.
And what now, it's possible that I was putting too much faith in WotC by thinking this, because I think we said last week when we talked about Ultimate Masters in the first place that these only being available in local game stores was awesome. Because
and
they're
it was
so expensive.
For that brief window when we thought that was how it worked.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Considering you can get packs of this in big box stores, you just can't get the boxes and by extension the premium, you know, box stopper. The idea that you could order one of these online for a lot less than getting it at your local game store for the full benefit of having the box stopper kind of sucks. Because Magic players know how to buy stuff online. That's not new.
Yeah.
Like, it's really hard to justify spending an extra $60 to make your store feel better.
Yeah, $60 is not a small amount of money. It's not like this is a box of the latest standard legal set where the difference is, what, $20? $30?
Something in there. Like, I've been to a number of places where the local game store just sells everything at the pack MSRP. And so you're looking at straight up, you know, $419 times 36 was the cost of a box. I've been to other stores that sell boxes for, like, $90. And that's just how much they sell boxes for. And it's, you know, pretty much like buying it online, or like it'll be $100. If you bought it online, it would be $80. And like, that would be like, yeah, sure. $20 to help my store. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
If I can get it online for $80, or if I can get it in the store for like $140, that's a much harder sell. And this is that just for something that's already more expensive.
Yeah. And that bothers me because they made such a big deal about it being local game store only. Now, I switched back to the screen too soon. If you listen again, he clarifies.
Masters.
So you can only get a sealed box of Ultimate Masters from a local game store.
Sure.
So these are not going to be sold at big box stores or anything like that.
The boxes are only going to...
He said these won't be sold at big box stores or anything like that, meaning you won't be able to get them at Walmart, which up until right before the show, we didn't think you could get boxes of Magic from Walmart. It turns out you can.
Yeah, if you go to their website, they do that thing where third parties can sell through their storefront, which means that by extension, you go to a Walmart website, you can buy boxes of Magic product via third parties. You're unlikely to get them in the store itself, but by, you know, ultimate result, you can buy them through Walmart. So maybe those won't appear, or maybe third parties will be able to sell them through there too, since this doesn't appear to have any actual, you know, binding agreement that we've seen as to what you can do with this product once you bought it from a distributor.
Yeah, like OJM just said, I don't think that WotC has the capability to prevent a local game store with an online purchase shipping infrastructure from doing so. True. Well, then, but why would they make that a big part of their announcement? Like, they said it like four times over the course of that announcement.
Yeah, it's not that we expected them to magically be able to enforce it so much as making a selling point that you can't deliver on always looks bad. I mean, see reference all the politics ever. Like, it looks bad when you say you're going to do something that you can't do, and you probably know you can't do.
Does it? Because
No, don't go down that rabbit hole on the air. So, yeah, like, the fact that this is a thing doesn't bother me. The fact that Wizards made it a thing, and then it's the same as every other box of Magic.
Yeah, it's that get a feeling that they're helping out on the local game store level while they're announcing the, you know, discontinuation of this thing that was always for local game stores. Well, here's the last one, and it's going to be big, and it's going to be huge, and it's going to be amazing, and then it's actually not exclusive to them, so other people can buy it. Kind of sucks.
Yeah, it's exactly the same as a box of standard legal stuff, except, you know, three times the price.
Yeah.
Which doesn't actually help local game stores at all. So, yeah, that came to light, and it bothered me. So, I thought we would share with you guys. I don't know what purpose it served, other than, hey, there's nothing special about Ultimate Masters as far as how you can buy it. Nothing.
For the most part, we wanted to point it out because last week we said how we thought it worked, and that's apparently not how it works. So,
yeah.
In its own weird way, it's kind of like a retraction or follow-up.
Yeah.
Based on what we've seen.
So, there you go. So, one last bit of information here. It's Magic Online stuff. So, hey, Squee.
Yeah, let's talk about the other championship. You want to talk for a while? I mean, I'll talk for a little while. I'm not going to read this whole thing to people, but yeah, they put out an article on the 12th, which is today.
What?
So they didn't wait till Tuesday for a change. Usually we get these things on Tuesdays or Wednesdays, but we got it today. I guess it was probably announced at the Pro Tour and I just missed it. But either way, the Magic Online Championship for 2019, the future year.
I don't think they announce things at Pro Tours anymore.
I didn't think so either, but like I don't normally get the stuff on a Monday unless it was announced over the weekend. So, at any rate, so Magic Online's championships were generally done by this thing of there was the Magic Online Championship Series, the MOX. It was a monthly thing that they would do each month of the year to get to 12 players. They would then all go to a real tournament that has actual, you know, cool prize payout to everyone since they couldn't give them cash on the internet due to gambling laws. And that was the thing. And there'd be 12 of them. They'd play. They'd win. It'd be awesome. They're changing up how they do that a bit. So rather than putting people through the monthly championship series, which could vary in formats and all of that stuff, they're doing something a little differently. They're going to be doing MOX preliminary events rather than monthlies because they're not going to be things that happen monthly. Going to be more than 12 of them. They're going to be roughly every, you know, 2 weeks. I'm sure that's going to vary a little bit based on releases, holidays, whatever they decide. Like, they're not committing to every 2 weeks, but it's going to be roughly every 2 weeks. And I'm not going to read the point options. If you care about this, you'll come and look at it. But essentially, you're going to be keeping track of leaderboard points. Obviously, getting the most leaderboard points is good for you and ups your chances of getting where you want. Like, no, the main meat of what I want to talk about here that's actually pretty cool is that they're going to be doing things that they're calling format focus events, which already they have format challenge events, and those are like, you know, a neat thing that you could do to try to qualify for, you know, the Pro Tour. But format focus events are more interesting because you can play your favorite format all the way to the Pro Tour, so you're not forced to jump between multiple different ones based on the time of year and when the events are happening. So there's this, you know, big chart that you can see on Chewy's screen there. Look at all that flow chart.
Yay!
Look at all that. Yeah, so if you're trying to make your way to the online championship, you can do it with Modern, Legacy, Vintage, Hopper, in addition to, like, the normal competitive stuff that you would hope for. But those are the main ones. So Pauper, Modern, Legacy, and Vintage. They have their challenges.
You can get there through the challenges or through the competitive leagues.
Yeah. So if you want to, like, you know, play the big heavy-duty challenges, you can. If you want to play in the leagues, which are generally more schedule-friendly for people that have other stuff going on in their lives, then that's an option too. So you'll play these and you'll get to format playoffs for your appropriate format. Do well in those, you get to the championships. Do well in those, and ultimately you make your way up to the Magic Online Championship, which has 24 competitors instead of the 12 from the past, which is where that roughly every 2 weeks thing clicks in, because that'll take up roughly every 2 weeks of the year, you know, minus like 4 weeks throughout it, probably surrounding holidays and maybe set releases. So we'll see where that goes. But it's pretty neat because the Magic Online Championship can feed you into the Magic Pro Tour. Look at all these flowcharts. See why they need them? So you go through all of those initial things with your leagues and your, you know, other events to get the Mox Preliminary. Take that through the leaderboard, get the Magic Online Championship, through all this other stuff just went over, and that can lead you ultimately to the Magic Pro Tour, the for real one. So
yeah, you also, and this is all done via things called format points.
Yeah.
Which so you get format is a dumb name.
It is. I think they realized that they had so many points flying around that they just gave up and therefore made more.
That
rather
works.
Than coming up with a clever name.
Yeah, you can get into the Mox Preliminary. I don't understand this flowchart.
The bottom one?
Yeah, because it's got competitive draft leagues, intermediate draft leagues, competitive sealed leagues, cube single elimination draft queue, and competitive constructed leagues, all pointing at the Mox Prelims. I thought the prelims were how you play.
The prelims are
maybe
the
those costs. Oh, those cost the points. So you build up your points through those. Okay.
Yeah.
Because you have to pay points to get into a prelim. Okay.
Yeah, when you play these things, you get points specific to the format that you're playing in. So you don't just get to, you know, stock up on cube and then go in for draft. You build up your points in a given one. You expend those points, the ability to, you know, play in the prelims, and where you try to get, you know, successful results that will ultimately lead to the rest of that big fancy flowchart we were just talking about. If you're just listening to this in podcast form and you're interested in this, I strongly recommend going to the show notes and looking at this.
Yeah.
Because I could not describe what's going on the screen very well.
I mean, we've done a pretty good job.
Yeah. Like, if you can't see it, like, go look at it later.
Yeah.
They put together these flowcharts for a reason. It's because there are a bunch of different levels of challenges to playoffs, to championships, to other championships, to Pro Tour. So, yay. But ultimately, it is a crazy snake that does make sense. So,
that's the best kind of snake.
I mean, it's way better than that other snake. Make any sense.
Badger, 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 badger.
Yeah.
So, there's one more thing in here. Well, two more things. There will be a competitive Pauper League alongside the friendly Pauper League starting Wednesday.
Yeah.
So that's neat.
And that's sort of the lead into when you start getting format points out of Pauper.
Yep.
So if you want to Pauper your way to the Pro Tour, that's how you do it.
And then they're losing the 1v1 commander. What's the word here? Event support. You can still, it's sort of like they did with Brawl. You can still play 1v1 Commander, but there won't be events for it.
Yeah. I mean, keep in mind that they had their own banned and restricted list for this, like separate from everything else.
Yeah.
And it was a kind of a pain to keep up with. And as we've noted from several people throughout all of Magic, throughout all of time, Commander was never really meant to be competitive. It was meant to be a fun thing. And putting prizes on the line always makes it awkward. You create metagames that were never meant to be, and it gets really hard to keep up with. And people just weren't as enthused with it or all of the work that they had to do to keep it going. So you can still do it as much as you want, but you're not going to get event support after the release of Ravnica Alliance in January.
Can I put on a tinfoil hat real quick?
Sure. Only if I can see it.
So if you look at this closing section here in this article, our goal with the changes is to focus on what Magic Online does best. Our biggest strength is that we offer faithful Magic play using nearly the full back catalog that Magic has to offer. So while we'll still be offering standard and current draft sets, you'll see us focus on the experiences you can only have on MTGO. More cubes, more flashbacks, more chaos draft, more other wacky formats, more competitive eternal formats. I think they are going to change the focus of Magic Online to look at all this old stuff that you can't do on Magic Arena.
I think that's very likely.
And shifting the focus of Magic Arena to the now, now, now.
I thought you were putting on a tinfoil hat there.
Well, no, that sounds incredibly likely.
This
but it
just popped into my head.
No, they're not saying that, but that kind of language is the kind of language you use when you're trying to ease into a transition that you think people might take as hard.
Yeah.
I mean, considering they started down the path of maybe we'll not redemption in conversations at various points in time, I wouldn't be surprised if the overall idea is that Magic Online is the past and that they will continue to support it as long as people want to do it. But in a world where they want to have esports and they want to have, you know, visual competition, probably going to be more Arena. And Arena is not going to get the entire backlog of Magic the Gathering. It's going to be now going forward.
Yeah, people are like, when are they going to put Modern on Magic? No, I don't think they will. And I don't think they should.
No. If you want completely as authentic as you can get digital Magic, it's going to be Magic Online, and that's going to be what it serves.
Yeah.
If you want cool visuals and you want stuff that's, you know, more polished and less clearly a paper card game, you're going to probably play Arena.
Yeah.
And they can both exist at the same time.
Yeah.
And if people stop pumping, you know, boatloads of money into Magic Online like they, you know, currently do, then they'll eventually stop doing Magic Online when it's no longer worth the money. Right now, the amount of money they pull in off of Draft Junkies, grossly out of scope with the likely cost of Magic Online, especially given the perceived amount of support that it has. So I think right now it's still a very cost-effective goose that they don't have to improve, because it's probably pulled in the majority of the people that are going to want it, and the other people that are going to want it aren't really there for the pretty visuals. They're there for the Magic experience. So that can continue to be the case as long as it were. But I would not expect a whole lot of Magic Online Twitch streaming once Arena takes off the way they hope it does.
At least not standard.
Yeah.
Okay, I was reading this final paragraph, and I'm like, that sounds, so.
Yeah, the whole, while we'll still be offering standard and current draft sets, sounds like they're answering a thing that they were afraid we were going to ask.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't go, well, we're still going to give you a ride to work if you weren't, you know, under the assumption that someone thought that you were going to leave them abandoned in a gas station. Like, you don't just say that unless you're trying to address a fear.
By the way, Clues, sorry again about that.
Admittedly, he didn't want to go to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. He didn't. I didn't.
It's but okay, I still should have not abandoned you at the gas station.
I mean, did you have to leave me in Georgia?
Look, you could have ended up in South Carolina. You're welcome.
I didn't know we were in Georgia. I got confused.
Okay. All you saw were peach trees, and you thought maybe you were in Gaffney. I understand.
Oh, hey, Jay Spencer pointed out something. I wonder how much less limited and standard is actually being played on MTGO now compared to what it was before Arena. I would love to know that, but they're never, ever going to tell us.
I would like to know that compared to before, you know, the heavy push of Hearthstone, Eternal, and all the other games that have come out
over
the last several years, because I can't imagine they're keeping the same market share they had before just by virtue of there being competition that is prettier.
And that's why they are no longer printing digital Pro Tour player tokens.
It all makes sense now.
It does. Sort of. Kind of.
Clues, I want you to have a crazy wall the next time we tune in and see you on camera.
A what now?
Like one of those ones with like bands and strings and whatever connecting like no. a ukulele to something.
Sure.
Just behind sure. you.
If I have time, I'll do that between now and then.
Also, just so that everyone knows, if I ever get around to moving into a new home, I need to hide clues in this apartment for the future. Like one of those things where you hide something under the carpet for when someone does a renovation later. Yeah, that's going to be me. I'm going to be the person who does weird stuff like that.
Would it be an ultimate box topper?
No, I can't afford those.
You can buy one online.
I can't afford to make that mistake. No, I kind of want to have like the crazy conspiracy wall just so that if I ever like die in a car crash or something, then people think there's a conspiracy and that's how you live on forever. Gotta think ahead.
All right, then. So that's our show, by the way.
Yeah, go us.
Awesome.
Yeah, we should wrap this up so Clues can go to bed.
That's yes.
Fair. So you can find me on Twitter at SqueeGoblinAbob. There's no I in Goblin because I think it found my flashlight and is trying to rip some people off on the internet. It's been running with a bad crowd. Just don't buy anything from the I in Goblin. Just don't. It's not a good idea. I would also like to thank you for voting, for the people that voted, because obviously a lot of people voted last week, and I appreciate that. I had something else, but I don't remember what it is now. So it's maybe a short thank you. I'll set up a hook for later. Chewie is doing something in the near future, and he should tell you about it when we get there. It's going to involve rogue and roguelike things.
And that Gasp. Should be
interesting. Yeah. Who knows? There could be backstabbing. That's all I can really think of right now. So,
God, I love the backstabbing.
Yeah. I'll hand it over to Clue.
All right. I'm glad that Chewie's got my back. No. Oh, actually, wait a minute. No, I'm not. I'm actually really concerned about that now. Hey, if you want to get a hold of me, your best bet is on the Twitters. I'm at LockLuze, spelled just like it is in the show notes. Check out the show notes, something, something mana pool, and play a ukulele. That's what I'll say. Take it away, Chewie.
Not necessarily in the pool, though.
No, I mean, they do make, you know, waterproof ukuleles. You can do that.
That is such a niche audience.
It is.
It's for you, isn't it, Clues?
I do own one, yes.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, then.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, that's true. The Infiltrator reminded me of what I was going to say, actually. So I would like to make an announcement that next Monday there will be Magic News. And if you tune in here, we will be telling you what it is.
Are we recording next Monday?
I have no idea. No.
I haven't the faintest clue, are we?
But I am making an announcement.
I know. It's the weekend before... Thanksgiving. I mean, the week before Thanksgiving, but or the week of Thanksgiving, but that still should be fine.
Presumably. Yeah, what fine. Really matters is that in the future, there will be something and it will be announced then. So I'm announcing now that it might happen then.
Future events such as these may affect you in the future.
Right. So, hi, yeah. I'm Chewie.
Hi, Chewie.
And oh, it's back to the top of the show.
This weekend on November 17th. I am doing my annual charity live stream for Take This. I have this written down. Take This is an organization that provides gamers and, importantly, game developers with resources, guidelines, and training that help them support themselves and others in dealing with mental health challenges, thus reducing the stigma that mental illness still carries to this day. In freaking 2018. So yes, for the last 2 years I've done a charity live stream benefiting Take This, and this year I'm doing the same. There's that weird echo thing again. It sounds like... No, because I can't hear that. It sounds like wind in a microphone right after I'm done talking.
Spooky.
It's really weird. But anyway, this year... Saturday, November 17th, starting at like 11 a.m. and going until ever. The plan is to do at least 12 hours. So going until, let's say, 11 p.m. at least. With a break for lunch in the middle somewhere. Dinner, not lunch.
Food.
Food. A break for food in the middle somewhere. And Clues left. And Clues is back. Clues?
Sad thing is, by the time he gets back,
He's muted, but his
I don't know how to there. Yeah,
I'm sorry. I tried to mute for another sneeze and I fell off the call. I shouldn't have bothered. I am so sorry. It's just you were on a roll talking about a thing. I didn't want to interrupt. I interrupted.
You ended up interrupting.
It's all my fault. I'm so sorry.
Okay, one more time. So every year I do a charity stream for Take This. This year is no different. This year my theme is roguelike. I have 30 roguelike games that are all installed on the computer and will be ready to go by then.
That is not a small number.
It is not a small number. And because I have so many, I've decided to make the stream itself roguelike. So the two principles of a roguelike game, by and large, are random level generation and character permadeath. So when your character dies, they die, you have to get a new character. Sort of like, you know, really a hardcore D&D.
Yeah.
So the stream will be the same way. I will have random level generation in that I will use a random number generator of some sort to determine which game to play next. And, I mean, real life has character permadeath, and I'm streaming in real life, so, yeah. Thus, roguelike stream of roguelike games for, like, 12 hours. I've got roguelike shooters, roguelike turn-based things, roguelike card games, roguelike... It's all a roguelike. Roguelike platformers. It's gonna be great, because I love roguelike games just in general. So, yes, come hang out. Give to a good cause. I've got games to give away to donators like I did last year. I've got ass loads of video games. And our goal this year is $1 more than we made last year, which is $1,553.03, because last year someone was a smartass. So our goal is $1,553.03, because it was $1,552.03 last year. Mm-hmm.
That's one louder.
It is, yeah. And... If we do something crazy, like get an extra $1,000, so if we break $2,500, I'm going to do something crazy, like dye my hair blue or something.
Oh, really? What's that number again we got to get to?
2,500.
All right, just checking.
Why?
no reason.
Okay. The donation page is not up yet because, well, I have a lot of crap to do before then, and that's... Since I want the donations to come in, you know, during the stream, I haven't set that up yet, so my bad. But there you go. So that's the plan. And I hope you all come hang out, give to a good cause, have some fun, get some free swag. The games that I have to give away are on PC, so sorry if that's not your bag.
I'm sorry, Chewie. Can you remind us again when the stream starts?
It's Saturday, November 17th, around 11 a.m.-ish.
Eastern Standard Time.
Eastern Standard Time, because we're no longer on that daylight saving crap.
Thank God for that.
Yeah.
So that's the big news. I should have made that announcement at the top of the show, but I was so excited to talk to these guys that I forgot. So, that'll be on twitch.tv/themanipool. Come hang out. Why am I going to suffer? I don't want to know. So,
don't worry about it.
Yeah, I'm not playing more World of Warcraft ever. That was the first year. I didn't have a big goal for last year. So, yeah, this year, if we can crack a 2,500, then, yeah. I've already talked about colors. If I do end up dyeing my hair, it's going to be blue. Yeah, because it'll bring out my eyes. I actually have lovely blue eyes, apparently.
He does. I can attest to this. I've
Wouldn't
seen
that make you, is it?
Would, no, it'll make me just guy because I have white eyebrows.
Oh, yeah.
So it'll be blue, white, red, you see.
And if anyone asks it, just tell them that you are patriotic or French.
Ha ha ha. Anyway, so if you want to see more of what I do, then go to twitch.tv/themanipool, where I do all the live streaming, including the charity live stream. YouTube.com/themanipool is where... Let's see, wait, what have I been doing on Twitch lately? Playing The Messenger, which is brilliant. I played some more XCOM with the Twitch chat army.
I got special eyes.
Yes, Bill. Well, not yet. You don't.
Working on it.
Yeah. Once I play again, then your surgery will finish. Your surgery is going to take weeks, but it's actually only 3 days to get the genetic. What were the hyperreactive pupils? I gave Bill hyperreactive pupils because these are heavy.
And, I need to see things to shoot at.
And his aim sucks. So hyperreactive pupils.
I mean, that's true to life.
Hyperreactive pupils is after you miss, you get +10 aim for the rest of the fight for the next shot or something. So, and you always freaking miss. So your next shot,
yeah, buddy,
your next shot will be good.
It'll miss, and I'll get even more bonus, right? Does it stack?
I don't think it stacks now.
Oh well, then that's not going to be good.
But anyway. But yeah, that's what's going on over there. On youtube.com/themanapool, I've got videos of the messenger still going up. That game just keeps getting better and better. I don't understand. And also, I went back to the heroic Blackrock Mountain adventure in Hearthstone. And those videos have started going up on YouTube now as well. The first one went up today. So yeah, that's a thing that I was doing way back. And I'm talking like 2015 way back on YouTube. Yeah, I was playing the Hearthstone Adventures. And I still do all the single player content when it comes out, but I haven't finished going back and finishing up all the old stuff on super hard mode. And it's awesome. So yeah, that's the stuff going up on YouTube. Now, you can follow me on Twitter at The Manapool. On there's facebook.com/TheManapool. We're a Humble Bundle partner now. So if you ever buy Humble Bundles or buy anything in the store on Humble, then if you use our show link, which will be in like all the show notes of everything forever, then we get a small percentage of whatever you buy, like some sort of, what did you call it, Bill?
A kickback.
There you go.
I don't know. I thought that was what happens with horses.
They do that too.
Ah, okay. So yeah, just
I was
another.
I know that's a kick flip, but that's only if you have an extreme horse who's into skateboarding.
Yeah, yeah. I've
and
never
if you
seen
do it wrong. The horse will need a kickstand.
I've. And if you make jokes
We're
like that too often,
paper.
if you make jokes like that too often, you get your ass kicked. So,
yeah, there you go.
Possibly by a horse.
Probably. But anyway, so look, I'm all over the internet. something/TheManapool, that's me. There's the Humble Partner link, by all means. It doesn't add anything to your cost or anything. It's just a sponsorship thing. And there's the Patreon, which is the best way to sponsor Manapool Productions, which is the name of the company that does Monday Night Magic and the Manapool and all the YouTube streaming and all of the not YouTube streaming, YouTube videos, YouTube, Twitch streaming. Damn it, all the content I make, damn it, there. Tony Horses Pro Skater. The Infiltrator, I love you. So, if you would like to help sponsor Manapool Productions, the best way to do that is on patreon.com/TheManapool, where you can become a lifeguard. Get it, pool? Lifeguard? It's funny. That horse is amazing, by the way. The uncommon lifeguards get early access to YouTube videos and Manapool episodes. The rare lifeguards get the early access and access to the odds and ends, all the stuff recorded before and after both Monday Night Magic and the show notes that is uncensored and unfiltered.
Totally worth it.
And totally worth it, according to clues, at least. And the mythic lifeguards get the early stuff, the odds and ends, and the sponsorship shout out on the end of both podcasts and on the end screen for all the YouTube videos. So, value. So I would like to thank our mythic lifeguards, Kim Ho, Andrew Hunt, Al.
Bless you.
Damn it, Clues.
It's catching, man.
Paul David, Lance Delicious, Team U, Hellos, how are you? Connor Kennedy, John Morris, Jeff Spencer, Stuart Slaw, PJ McMullen, Busco Bertain, Casey, Fayon Says, Danny Liao, Jason Doan, Cody Buckowing, Jake Jansons, Jason Kaus, Gothic Man, Brian DeLucci, Stark Maximum, Keith Moody, John Parker, Violet Moon, Dan Holm, Bartle, Mike Millerburn, and the Beast Father, Aaron Goodwine. Except for that one sneeze out of nowhere, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Also, there's a Manapool Discord server that is open for everyone. Apparently this is a thing that wasn't clear. Anyone can click on the invite link and come join the Manapool Discord server. We have lots of different fun conversations going on at any given time. And patrons of the uncommon, rare, and mythic variety get the appropriately colored name in the Discord server. But anyone can hop in. Also, Twitch subscribers get a purple name, too. Yeah. So show off your support level or don't. And then come hang out, join in all the conversations. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. So with that, are we done? We should be done.
I think we're done.
Perhaps.
Yeah, so this has been Monday Night Magic number, what's that say, 631.
631.
Yeah, I had to cheat and look at stream. And apparently a youth was jailed. Huh.
You said 2015, so I was reminded.
Ah. So thank you all so very much for listening, and go play some Magic.